Okay, shall we all turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13? 2 Samuel chapter 13. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning to listen to your word and to submit to the authority of your word. We are living in a dark world. Everywhere we see the advancement of sin and evil. Wickedness. And it's not easy for us to live a holy life if not for your word and for the work of the Holy Spirit. And we welcome your ministry this morning to speak to our hearts and to open our minds and to be careful in the way that we live our lives so that we would bring glory and honor to your name in this one short, brief life that we have on the face of the earth. Help us not to be simple listeners, but be the doers of it. May we hearken carefully every word that we listen and be triggered, stimulated, motivated in our hearts to live a life of sexual purity as we are living in a sex-saturated world. We thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word. We commit our ears and hearts to you. In Jesus' name we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And we have seen the last week two important factors from this chapter. And let me read once again 2 Samuel chapter 13 until second verse. And then we will look at the couple of verses in the week today. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. We have seen the last week two factors from these two verses. What is the first one? We have seen about fascination and how we need to be careful about fascination of the beauty when we live and come across the beauties of the world. And also we have seen the second factor, which is speaking about what? Frustration. Those who entertain sexual fantasies, those who entertain and give themselves to immoral fascination will fall into frustration. There is no peace that lust will give. And that's what we have seen. And today, God willing, we will be looking at three more factors. And again, the next week or the coming weeks, we will be looking at three more factors. And let us see the third factor from this passage. We have seen fascination and then frustration. And the third, I'm about to speak to you, is on association. And that's what we see from verse 3. Observe carefully until verse 6. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said to him, and what was his counsel? Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my side, that I may eat from her hand. When lust was the problem in the life of Amnon, and when he was sinking into immorality slowly, what is one of the great influences that came upon him? And what we see is the association that he had with some people. We see him that he had a friend, his cousin, Jonadab. And what was his counsel? Instead of rebuking him, instead of correcting him, instead of guiding him in the ways of God, he was misleading him, giving him the false counsel, and making a prey for him to gratify his lust. You know, I know a Christian friend who was slowly getting into illicit relationship with another girl. He was married, but at the same time he was slowly, progressively falling into an immoral relationship. But praise God that he had friends who came into his life and gave him a sharp rebuke and warned him that the way he was taking was leading to destruction and disgrace to his marriage and getting him away from the living God. And due to that rebuke, that man repented and turned from that relationship that was becoming immoral, and he committed himself to follow the Lord and to build his family. I wish Amnon had friends like this friend. The friends who would rebuke him, guard him, guide him in the ways of God. But sadly, he had a friend who was more misleading than helpful in his life. And that's what I say, people. Association. The kind of people you choose in your life will either ruin you or build you to live your life in the ways of God. And the question this morning is, what kind of people have you surrounded yourself with? Are they polluting you or are they building you up in the holy faith of the Lord? We know the scripture very well. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, what does it say? Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company has a great influence on good character. But here Amnon did not have a good character. What I would add to what Paul says over here is this: bad company worsens bad character. Bad company not even corrupts good character, but it worsens bad character. And that's what we see had happened in the life of Amnon. There are two associations that I would like to bring, and then I will get to the other one. The first one is peer pressure is what we see in the life of Jonadab. And this is especially battle with teens who are living between 12 to 18 years. And also young adults who are above 18 years. This is a big, big problem that today's youth and teens are facing. Peer pressure. And many young people are unable to walk in the ways of God is because of the kind of friends that they have chosen in their lives. They have ruined their bad person, their bad character. I remember I was traveling in a bus, and a stranger was sitting next to me. And I was speaking to this young person, and I don't mind asking this straightforward question. I asked him a very direct question: do you watch pornography? And that guy was a little hesitant because I was a stranger. But India, we have that freedom, okay? We are not, the Western people are so individualistic. So here we have some freedom to talk to the people. And so I asked him and he said, yes. And one of the instructions that I was giving him on how we need to tackle porn is to take friends along with him so that he would guard himself what he watches when he is before the computer. And you know what he said? In fact, the friends were the ones who introduced him to porn. He had no idea what porn was. The friends introduced him. And my dear parents, let me tell you that you have no idea what the friends of your children are influencing them. I have faced that struggle in my own family with my own kids about how their friends can worsen their character. And we as parents should guard our children and speak to our children and guide them in the way so that they would walk in sexual purity in this sex-saturated world. Let me tell you what one 16-year-old girl told in a magazine. 16-year-old girl, very young. And this is what she said in the magazine: I am a virgin. Isn't it pathetic? I am a virgin. Isn't it pathetic? So sad that I am a virgin. I don't think any of my friends are. They don't criticize me, but it's like a barrier between them and me. Like they know something I don't. It makes me feel left out. I'm definitely going to do it before my 17th birthday. I don't know with whom. I'm looking forward to being able to tell my friends, guess what? Look what I did. She wanted to prove that she know what it is to kiss a boy, to have sex with a boy. Because everyone is doing it, why not I? This is a common thing, kissing, cuddling, oral sex, and even physical sex is a normal thing today. Why can't I have it? Peer pressure. Not even Christians are realizing this. Even in the secular field, psychologists and a lot of people are recognizing. For example, let me share with you what Siddharth Dutt and Manjula, Department of Clinical Psychology in National Institute of Medical Health and Neurosciences in Bengaluru, Karnataka, what they have written in the journal. You know what they said? A large percentage of the youth in the study get the knowledge from friends. This could be because discussing sexual matters openly is a taboo and parents or family members are often hesitant in initiating or discussing about it. So, you choose to discuss with friends. This is a big problem in India, where parents feel hesitant to talk about sexual matters to their children. I tell my children, my sons, the first person whom you kiss in your life should be your wife and none other. And I keep reminding them, holding them accountability that you watch or are your friends influencing you in some way? Because I know a lot of people who got caught up in this sexual fantasies and world, and parents had no idea about that because they never discuss about sexual issues with their children. And I tell you, I know that a lot of us are sitting over here are adults. So this is not a big problem. I'll tell you who is the next friend that we have, by whom we are mostly influenced. But to the children here, to the teens here, I'm telling you that be careful of the friends you choose in your life. Where is my eldest son that I can't see him? Hey, Joy. Sit here. Be careful of the friends that you choose in your life, lest they ruin you if you're not careful of these friends. The association that Amnon had is with Jonadab, ruined his life. And we had another friend that Amnon did not have. Do you know that? We have a great friend today that Amnon did not have in his generation. You know what is that? Mass media pressure. That has become an intimate friend of a lot of people and ruining them. Mass media, what is that? Movies, literature, television shows, advertisements, internet, social media, music, lyrics. These are all mass media which is distorting the minds of people, whether they are young or old, misleading them, leading them into sexual immorality in the name of being or moral in those issues. These are the another Jonadabs that we are facing in our generation. And you know what this media is telling? Homosexuality is okay. No problem. You see in the movies, advertisements, how they are presenting it that it is a normal thing for people. Even at once people were disgusted about it, today they are accepting it because of the pressure and exposure of media. Distorting the minds of the people. Oral sex is okay and normal. I remember when I was in 10th class, there was a little indecent posture that the woman was portraying to people. And I could see the anger in the crowd. They tore off the wall poster. But today you see that? No one cares about it. Open sexual, oral, sensual postures, you see it? Nobody talks about it. Why? Because the media has mesmerized our generation, pressurizing that this is a normal thing. Even Christians, when they look at a picture in the movies and when they see the cuddling and kissing, they have no conscience. We have lost it. We don't say that, shun this evil away from me. I should not see it because these are not the married people who are kissing and cuddling and doing sensual things. We have lost those senses. And for many, James Bond is a favorite movie. And James Bond is known as a flirt. Sexually immoral person who just keeps sleeping with people. And Christians, they love this James Bond hero. What happened to your consciences, people? Did we allow the mass media to desensitize our spiritual faculties that we have lost
that holy indignation towards immoral things because of the impact of mass media. Premarital sex is okay. I remember once, many years back, watching, I thought it's a very decent movie. And very decent it was. Very fun and everything. And before they got married, they had premarital sex, and this guy was feeling very bad that he had sex with her. They didn't show it so explicitly, but he was feeling bad. And the heroine was so angry. Why are you feeling guilty? What's wrong we have done? What's wrong in having premarital sex? And she was brushing off, wiping off the guilt that this hero was struggling with. You see what is happening? The media today, if you look at it, earlier, you know, anything that could happen, there was a marriage, and then slowly the rose flower will come, or the night will come, and nothing will be there. But today you see that there is no marriage. There is no marriage bed. People can sleep together, and they can enjoy the bodies of each other. There is no sense of sexual purity, and Christians are living in this generation. Live in relationship without getting married. Living in the same room as husband and wife. Parents don't know. I remember once working in a corporate office, and I was asking my friend who was with me, he was my colleague, and I asked him that, where do you stay? He said that here I'm staying, and he said that who will stay? My girlfriend stays with me. My goodness, I was shocked. And he was telling that whenever the call comes, she goes somewhere downstairs and she impresses the parents that she is living with her girlfriends, not with a boyfriend. And this is so much happening in the world today. Live in relationship without getting married. Sleep together. Try one another's bodies. And this is a normal thing. How? The impact of media. Extramarital sex is okay and normal. No problem. You don't have to think about fidelity. These are all old time thing. You need to explore sex with different people. No problem with that. Pornography is okay and normal. I would like to just say what one of the most immoral persons in the media, Ram Gopal Varma. You know what he said? He said that every day when I get up, I watch pornography for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And this is what he said. Man has made massive advances in terms of art, technology, social progress, and so on. But he couldn't invent a single thing which gives more happiness and more pleasure than sex. The suppression of sexual pleasure is one of the key ingredients to suppress the freedom of an individual. Do you see what he says? The suppression of sexual pleasure is one of the key ingredients to suppress the freedom of an individual. I believe that sex is just a pleasurable act, and to attach it to morality will be counterproductive. You are producing bad results. If you attach sex to morality, you are committing a crime. Now people, let me tell you, these are the people who are reigning, dominating the media today. The advertisements, the movies, music lyrics, these are the people. Karan Johar, one of the worst directors who is ruining with all kinds of immoral things. Extramarital sex is okay. Kabhi alvida na kehna. Extramarital sex is okay, no problem. If you are not happy with your spouse, go and have illicit relationship with another person. Zoya Akhtar, another woman director who is presenting all kinds of immoral things. And let me tell you people, Christians are enjoying these movies. Dostana, homosexuality is okay in the form of a humor. Presenting, ruining the society today. You and I, if you are not careful of the media that we are living in, people, we are ruined. Observe that the modern mass media has manipulated sexual immorality by forcing us to accept it as a normal lifestyle and then binding us with a compelling sentiment. You know what? Don't judge. That's their freedom. Today's society is in big danger because all they are concerned about is about the individual's welfare, freedom, not about the community welfare. That's a big, big problem that we are seeing today. And even this is recognized in secular journals, as I was doing a study on that. And I was amazed at how the secular journals are also recognizing that. A journal published in Dove Press says, many studies have shown that mass media negatively influences people in their sexual behaviors. Mass media. And again, Marissa Wagner Olof, a professor in the university psychology department, this is what she said. We live in a sex-saturated society. The media constantly throws sex in our faces. There is music about hooking up, which means having sexual relationship with someone. Sex scenes in movies. And listen what she says. The more people watch and listen to this media, the more normal it becomes. The more people watch and listen to this media, the more normal it becomes. Amnon, because of his association, he couldn't live a sexually pure life because he chose bad friends. And we could choose bad friends and also bad media that is having a big impact on our mind. And what does the Word of God tell us? And this is what the Word of God tells us, that we need to cultivate godly stuff around us. Godly fellowship, godly accountability. If you and I are serious about living a holy life. Flee from the impact of corrupt people. Flee from the influence of mass media, which desensitizes your spiritual faculties. And then flee to godly fellowship and accountability and expose yourself to godly media. Praise God that there is godly media too. I'm reminded of what Psalm 119:37 says here. The psalmist says here, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. What are we watching, people? Are we watching something that builds our sexual purity, or are we watching something that ruins, pollutes our thoughts and sight? Don't let the current media poison your heart and thinking. Don't let it. Many today are entangled because they have let the current media poison them, and today they are so stuck up that they are unable to find freedom and come out of it. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, flee the evil desires of youths. And now, a lot of people know this, but they don't observe the latter part of this verse. You know what it says? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and peace, not alone. It says, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It says to pursue holiness, righteousness, purity, along with those. Surround yourself to godly people and pursue holiness along with them. Similarly, Hebrews 3:13 says, what does it say? But exhort one another every day. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It shows two things, that sin is deceitful, and secondly, that sin hardens. So what is the solution for this? Surround yourself with people who exhort you. Now let me give you a caution here. If you are a man and a woman who is filled with ego and pride, no one can come and tell you, people. No one can come and correct you when they know that you are egotistic and you are reluctant to accept correction. I had to give such people up, give up people in my own life. And one thing that I have cultivated in my own life is to go to the people and tell them, be brutal in shaping my character. You have no idea how hard am I on myself. If you think that I'm surviving today, it is because I place myself in the brutal hands of people who would not show mercy but brutally criticize me and shape my character. That's how I see that I can live a life of holiness in this age of degeneration, sexual immorality. Even when I was preparing this stuff, I had to call my friend and say that, friend, I am preparing and I know that I'm entering into the world as I'm doing research where I'm susceptible to all kinds of stuff. And I told him, call me next morning and hold me accountable and ask me, Stephen, did you watch anything that is sensual as you were doing research on that? Because I knew that I am weak and I need to be careful about what I watch. That's what the Bible says, exhort one another. And I can't express how much godly friends have been a great blessing. If I am surviving, living a holy life, living a life that is serious in the Lord, it is because of the friends who have been a great blessing unto me. Greg Morse says in Desiring God article, this is what it says. Listen carefully, all you young and old people. Ungodly friends cheer us on toward destruction. Your soul needs friends who are willing to take risk, wounding your pride in the moment for the long-term good of your soul. Praise God then for the faithful wounds of true friends who protect us from ultimate injury. They tell us plainly, you are flirting with destruction, or spiritual laziness is unacceptable. Friends who ask us hard questions, who crush the whispering lizard on our shoulder, who are for our eternal soul above our momentary feelings. These are true friends. Find these friends. Thank these friends. Imitate these friends. They are, as a friend of mine calls it, God's community grace to you. We need a crew of Christian companions, a body to keep us from shipwreck. Finishing the race is not an individual endeavor, and eternity is at stake. Finishing the race is not an individual endeavor, and eternity is at stake. I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, do you have such friends in your life who help you in your holiness? You know, we have this tense group. Last time when we met together, we have a lot of accountability when we come together. But the last month we have decided that when we come, every person asks whatever questions you want to ask to see that a person's inner life is living in the fear of the living God. Any person can ask, like if it is my turn, I just sit over there and all the 8 friends will look into me and ask, Stephen, are you loving your wife? Stephen, when was the last time you watched something sensual? And I have to brutally be transparent in the way I answer them and be honest with them. That's how we decided, because of the immoral pressure that we have in our time. Or else, it's very, very difficult to live a life of holiness. The third lesson that we learn from this foolish man Amnon is association. If you associate yourself with good people, when I say good, they are also hard on you. To mold your character, you will become a better man, a better woman. If not, your life is at great risk. Choose godly friends and godly media. The fourth factor that we learn from this man is this. And this is what every person goes on the way once they are captivated by lust. 2 Samuel 13:5-6. Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. So Amnon lay down and observed the words, pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. What was Amnon doing here? After fascination, frustration, association, now you see the progress that was going towards committing great crimes. And what is that we see? Whenever people are entangled by lust, this is what they do, and this is where they fall into, which is deception, manipulation. They live a life of lies, deception, hypocrisy, that they deceive others in order to see that their lust is gratified. Here Amnon deceived both the king and his daughter Tamar to gratify his lust. People who are entangled by lust live a life of lies and deception. They deceive their parents. They deceive their spouses. They deceive their bosses. They deceive God himself. They think, but God cannot be deceived. But they even attempt to deceive God. And in deceiving all these people, what they don't understand is that they are ultimately deceiving themselves. Ruining themselves. Lies, deceit, and hypocrisy become their nature. What is this deception that we see? Cleverly making advances to gratify their lust. That's what we see in this deception. In an article called Philosophy and Sexuality, this is what is said. Even the secular people admits this is what happens. Certain types of manipulation and deception are so common as to appear part of the nature of the sexual experience. When people are entangled by that, they live a life of deception and lies. Let me give you fun examples how we practically do today. A man pretends before his wife that he is doing some office work on the computer when in fact he actually watches porn. How many men do that? I'm doing some office work, but what they're watching is porn. A young boy or girl pretends to do his or her school assignment and research work, but what they actually do is secretly watch porn. Parents think that, oh, my poor girl or boy is doing some research and all these things, but what they are doing is the filthy things that they would be watching. A person deceives himself that it is okay to watch kissing and cuddling and finally ends up watching hardcore porn. Bible says avoid every forms of evil. People, I'm telling you, if you cannot avoid kissing and cuddling, you will end up watching hardcore porn. And I've realized and determined that if you want to overcome that strong stuff, be hard on the soft stuff. And that's how you and I learn to live a life of an overcomer. A girl pretends to be ill so that she can avoid going with her parents to a party and invites her boyfriend to her house. Deception. Deceiving parents. A young man takes his girlfriend to a movie theater. We find that in almost every theater. A young man takes his girlfriend to a movie theater and makes her sit somewhere in the corner so that he can tempt her sensually while watching the movie. Deception. A man and a woman subtly convince each other to sleep together because they're anyway going to marry soon. Anyway, our marriage date is fixed. We are marrying soon so we can sleep together. No problem. God accepts it. God understands it. What a great deception it is. Deceiving one another. Beware of spending too much time in this matter where sex before marriage is entertained. A Christian man finds a Christian woman physically attractive. What does he do? He keeps talking to her and chatting her in the name of encouraging her in the Lord. You know what I'm doing? I'm encouraging her. I'm being a blessing to her. Deception. Because what is driven is not good attitude, but lust. He wants to deceive. He cannot go and directly ask, will you sleep with me? It's a very dangerous thing to do that. So follow the way of deception. Be subtle. People, listen to this. Sexual sin is progressive. It is not immediate. Sexual sin is progressive. It is not immediate. That's what people do. A young man manipulates a girl, deceives a girl, saying, if you really love me, you will kiss me and give yourself unto me. What is this? Deception. If you love me, then give yourself unto me. If you don't love me, that means you are abstaining yourself unto me. A married man and a married woman in an office share with each other the problems with their spouses and deceptively find comfort in each other. You know, my husband doesn't love me. And the wife will say, oh, my husband doesn't love me. And the husband will say, oh, my wife is also like that. What are they doing? Deceptively, they're falling into the arms of one another so that eventually they end up sleeping with each other. Be careful of sharing your family problems with the opposite sex in your workplace. You are giving a foothold for them to invite you into adulterous relationship. Beware of that. A neighbor visits a house in pretension of a casual talk after her husband leaves the office. Well, I just came, just wanted to talk to you. When husband is there, he doesn't show up. When husband is not there, tries to build a relationship with the woman. Be careful. Never invite any person into your house when your spouse is not there. Especially, I'm telling you, even a pastor, don't care about him. Even if a pastor says that I want to pay a visit to you, if your husband is not there or if your wife is not there, tell that. Okay, pastor means, I don't mean that. It's not about husbands, but about even a woman or any. Say that, no, I'm sorry. You can come when my husband is there. Or you can come to the sister and you can tell to the sister when my wife is there, please come and visit me, but not in the absence of my spouse. Be careful, people. We are living in an age of deception. And I was even reading actually. A young woman shared how her friend manipulated her, that it is normal to have same-sex relationship and not to feel guilty about the act. I was reading that, I was so amazed that how this woman was lured into homosexual relationship. And this person said that it's normal. You don't have to worry about that. You are just having guilty because of the cultural pressure. But there is nothing wrong about that. In the name of honesty and transparent confession, listen to this. A married man shares with another woman about his attraction towards her and even asks her to pray for him. You know, sister, I'm getting physically attracted towards you. And Bible says, confess your sins to each other. Please pray for me. And what happens to that sister? She started to develop a feeling towards him which she never had. And this man uses this as a bait, deception, to bring her to himself. Don't tell anyone. You know, I'm honestly sharing with you. I want to be transparent. Don't tell anyone. Be careful, people, in the name of confession. Never, ever go to the opposite sex and tell that you are struggling with lust. Never, ever do that. You don't know what trouble you are inviting. This is a common struggle, but you don't have to confess it to every person. Deal before God or go to some mature people and ask them, please provide me some help about how to deal with that. But don't go to that person directly. My own close friend was telling me that one day, a church sister called him and told that I'm having some attraction towards you. And this man was shocked. He didn't know what to do actually. When this woman directly called him and told that I'm getting physical attraction towards you. And he refused that and he told in our accountability group so that we can hold him accountable so that he would not fall into the deception. Praise God that he took that step. A man covertly seduces a woman who is unloved and uncared by her husband by showing great love and care. This is one big problem that happens in marital life. When a woman is unloved and uncared, when a husband is unloved and uncared, they become prey to others. And they open themselves to others, share with others, and they try to prey upon them. Be careful of giving such opportunity. Don't be deceived. Last week, I was speaking to a sister, and I know that she faced it beforehand. She told me, and I asked her once again the story so that I would share with you. She was a member of a charismatic church in Hyderabad, and one day the youth pastor there told her that I wanted to meet you in a restaurant. I want to talk to you something. And he was married and he had children. And when she went to the restaurant and she was spending time with him, and he took a ring from his pocket and he said that God told me to marry you. And he told that even God told me that his wife will die soon and that he would marry her. This woman looking to a pastor for guidance, comfort, encouragement. Imagine, she's coming from a Hindu background, had no idea about Christianity. And this guy, the pastor, like a wolf, preys upon her and tells her that God told me what would happen to her. And you know what he told her later? If you go and tell others about what I am doing, God's curse will come upon you because I am a prophet of God. How many people can fall prey to this kind of deception? That's why I'm telling you people, when people go into this crazy. Recently I was spending time with a friend, I was beating my head. I couldn't understand, Lord, how could this be possible? A very great celebrity in our culture, I don't want to take the name. He was telling all the proofs that he had seen. That the wife of this celebrity was also a celebrity, sleeping with another man. And he showed actually the picture, which is exactly the daughter and the person similar there. I couldn't believe, how could this be? Because this woman speaks so strongly publicly in the open air meetings. Thousands of people come listening to her. I couldn't reconcile that in my mind. How can people become so deceived and deceive others when they are caught up in lust? That's what lust does, people. Deceives. And you and I should be very, very careful, because lust and lie, deception always goes together. And this is what I say to all the people here. If you find anyone in the church deceptively, evidently, making sensual advances towards you, please inform the elders. Because we want to build a life, an atmosphere of sexual purity in the community of Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship. But at the same time, I would like to caution you not to be too suspicious about others. Are understanding? Trust them. Love them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't be too cautious, over cautious about it. But at the same time, be careful of the factor of deception that is involved in lust. And finally, for this week, I want to share another one. What is it that we have seen? Association. The next is deception. And the third one, isolation. Isolation. Now you see what happens here. How he was progressing towards his own ruin by sexual immorality. 2 Samuel 13:7 to 11. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out every man from me." Observe that. "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." What is the biggest blunder Amnon had done when he was captivated by lust? What he did? He sent everyone away so that he could be alone with Tamar. And what is the foolish mistake that Tamar has done? To let everyone go before her eyes, so that she had no idea that she would become a victim. But that's the most dangerous thing for a woman, is to be alone with a man filled with lust. And that's what has happened here. Listen to this, my dear people. Lust becomes stronger and almost irresistible when you are alone. Lust becomes stronger and almost irresistible when you are alone. When you are lustful, to live in isolation is to unleash all the power of lust to rule over you. When you are filled with lust, to stay in isolation is to let all the powers of lust to reign over you. Just ask this question. Ask this question to the one who is addicted to porn. When do you watch porn? You know what they will say? "When I am alone." Ask to those people who fell into premarital sex. How did you fell in this premarital sex? You know what they will say? "It is when we were alone." Ask those who commit adultery, fall into extramarital affair, despite having a spouse. Ask them, "When did you commit adultery?" They will tell you, "When we were alone." Ask the person who is sexually abused by someone. It could be a family member or a neighbor or a relative. "When were you sexually abused?" That person will tell, "When I was alone with the person." Ask the young man or a young woman or grown-up people, "When do you battle severely with sexual fantasies?" They will tell you, "When I was alone." Being alone or with someone or something is dangerous in the atmosphere of lust. Do you understand what I'm saying? Being alone with someone or something is dangerous in the atmosphere of lust. Let me give you some tips about how you need to be careful. Don't be alone with your friend or with your tab. Don't be alone with your phone or with your tab when you are battling against sexual temptation. Throw it away. Throw it away. I know a brother in our church who threw away his smartphone because he was fooled by it and he bought a keypad phone. That's a radical step, people. When you know that you being alone with the smartphone and you are fooled, idiotized by the sensual lust, throw it away. Don't be alone with your phone. Do not watch television alone when you are struggling with sexual temptation. You know how many people are mesmerized? YouTube they go to, and soft porn they watch, and all kinds of things. And when they're battling with that, they are stuck to, glued on the television. I know Christian men, I was reading about them, you know. Whenever they used to travel, and they entered into the hotel, they told the manager, strictly, remove the television from my hotel room. Or else I'm not going to take the room. And almost in every case they remove, because they want customers. They won't keep television in the room. Because that television, it has become a devil's tool to show all kinds of filth to the people. Do not be alone with your computer when you are wrestling with sexual temptation. Don't be alone. Place yourself somewhere in the middle of your room so that everyone would watch over you and you would not gratify lust. If you are addicted to porn, never, never be alone. If you are staying alone in a room or an apartment, find a partner. Let the person stay along with you. Or if you are living with your family, don't live alone in your room. Have some family member stay with you. Because to be alone is to give power to the lust to reign over you. One of my favorite books I encourage all the men and the women to read, and I have been reading these days. What a great encouragement it is. It speaks about the battle with sexual temptation. The book name is Finally Free. It is written by a biblical counselor and professor, Heath Lambert. And this is what he says in this book. Listen carefully. His argument, beautifully well put in words, which is a great wisdom to all of us in our battle against lust. A person who desires pornography can only view it when it is available and when they have time alone to view it. Imagine you have a desire to see pornography and are in a room surrounded by porn. If one of your pastors or an accountability partner happens to be in the room with you, you would probably be able to resist looking despite your desire and the availability of the porn. Now, take those people away and you are instantly tempted again. Why? Because now you are alone. You cannot watch porn or anything when you are surrounded by people. Take those people away when you are all by yourself. That's the power of Satan and lust to cause you to watch it. What should you do? What should you do? Flee from yourself. Knowing that to be with yourself is the most dangerous thing to do when you are all alone with your phone, television, computer, or whatever. You need to fight against lust. Few more. If you are staying in an apartment or in a room, do not let any boy, if you are a girl, or any girl, if you are a boy, enter your room alone. People, if you are not radical about this, you are going to be fooled and deceived and ruined by lust. Do not counsel, encourage the opposite sex in a private setting where no one can watch over you. We are a church that encourages one another, but be careful how you take steps. Not in a private setting where no one can watch. Not at all. Do not visit house of an opposite sex if his, her spouse or parents and other family members are not at home. Avoid going alone with the opposite sex to a restaurant or somewhere. Have someone with you. A sister was sharing with me that how one person in the church one day called her and said that, I have a very important thing to talk to you. This is in the church, people. I'm not talking about what happens in the Google or Microsoft or Dell. This is in the church, right in the church. And this guy calls her and tells her, I have a very important. She didn't know. She thought very important. He said something very serious. And he took her on the car and they were going on the ring road and he was taking her somewhere in the lonely, isolated place. And on the way she understood that he was trying to make sexual advances. And you know what he did? She cried. She behaved like a mad woman. And he threw her out of the car. He couldn't bear her torture anymore. Wise woman she was. Never go alone with any opposite sex. You're inviting trouble. Don't travel alone with the opposite sex. Never do that. I remember once A guy was traveling alone with a woman on an official purpose. It was mandatory that he should travel. And both were Christians from the church, okay? That's a very interesting thing. And then as they both sat together, and this girl and the woman who was sitting next to him was behaving in a very sensual way, the way she was moving towards him. And he stopped the car. And there was a petrol bunk. He went there, called up someone, and he came and sat in the car and then started going. And this woman asked, "What happened?" He said that "I went and called my wife, telling that there is a woman sitting next beside me. She's trying to tempt me. Pray for me and hold me accountable in this area." That woman never looked at him again. To parents, don't let your youths, teens, to be alone in their room with their doors locked. Always tell them, in this house, as long you are there, you will never lock your door. Anytime we can come in and check what you are doing. And don't say that you are barging my privacy. There is no barging of privacy here. We are protecting you from immorality, which is rampant. Do not let your kid be alone in the room with their friend of the opposite sex. If you think that your boyfriend is coming, girlfriend, spend in the living room. Spend. No, not in the room. Never. Do not let your kid be alone with an adult in a room. I don't even let Joy, if Blessy comes into my house, take her into the room and spend. I know Joy, I trust him, but still, I don't entertain that. I would tell that, no. If Joy is there, if other girls are there, that's okay. But an adult boy or an adult girl and a small boy, small girl, no. You don't know what's happening. People, protect your kids. Don't trust blindly. No way. Play in the living room. We will see. But this is not going to happen. Caution about sexual abuse, which is rampant today. Beware of online private chatting with the opposite sex. I tell you that if you chat with the opposite sex, be accountable. If you're married, be willing to tell your wife, check my texting so that my texting will be holy. And I would not try to make any advances. If you are single, be accountable to your mother or brother or anyone. Checking them. Don't tell that this is private matter. What private? We are living in a sex-saturated world, people. The more you are in the public, the more safer for you. And the more you are in private, the dangerous thing it is for you. You need to be accountable. Anyone can check your texting. You don't know what's happening in the media. Even those who are not careful of this in the media, they ruined their career only because of the way they texted the opposite sex. Be careful. Do not speak alone on phone with the opposite sex for a long time. Have someone around you. When call comes, you go somewhere and talk privately, there is some gadbad over there. Be careful. Don't be ashamed to be with your spouse or with your family member. And this is what Mark Merrill, president of Family First organization, says. Listen to what he says. The last thing you want to do is find yourself alone with the object of your unhealthy desires. That's the worst thing you can do with yourself. Whether it is images or actual people. If contact with that person is a must, then make sure it is always in a public space and others are around you. But never, ever alone. And I told you last time also, in a Desiring God article, I think they have given 12 principles about how people fall into immoral sex. And one thing they said is, in all cases, people who have fallen into immorality are those people who never imagined they would fall into sexual immorality. They were too confident of themselves. Now, this is what I would like to caution you people before I close this. Listen carefully. I don't want this church to become legalistic because of all these teachings. Now, listen carefully. If you observe someone in the church who has become a victim of immodest dressing, ungodly association with friends or media, deception by someone, isolation with someone, don't be judgmental and critical. Be gracious, compassionate, sit with the person, talk lovingly, and help the person to come out. Don't go and say, "How can you do it? Don't be too smart, because you and I can have anywhere can fall into this. No. We have to be kind in helping others, because they don't know in most cases. Or even if they know, they don't know the seriousness of it. Let's be gracious in this church and not make judgmental and critical comments. But be loving and gracious in the way we deal with others and help others. I'm very strong in my preaching. But when I come to personal, the way I deal with that is very different. Until and unless a person is so hardened, I try to caution them lovingly so that they would not go in the area where they are ruining their lives. So what are the three factors that we have learned in the message today? Association. Be careful of the peer pressure, the persons, and also the media. What is the second?
Deception.
People, you should understand, self-deception is the worst deception of all deceptions. And you should never underestimate what a crafty fellow you are. What does Jeremiah say? The heart is deceitful above. You would go to any extent to deceive yourself and others to gratify your lust. And the third one is isolation. If you can really keep yourself in public and not in isolation, even though you are struggling, battered by lust, you would still keep yourself at least not falling in act. If you follow this principle, never ever be alone. Let's all stand up and pray. Let's stand up and pray. Here is a man Amnon before us, who is teaching us wonderful things from his life of failure. A man ruined and conquered by lust. At this time, people, if we have ignored any of these things, we can still learn a lesson now. But learning is not enough. We have to repent of our sins at the foot of the cross, where Jesus shed his blood, offered his body, died for our sins and rose from the dead, so that you and I would live a life of sexual purity and avoid bad associations. Avoid that way of deception. Avoid that isolation. Oh, let's learn wisdom today. Wisdom from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we all stand before you, not as righteous people, holy people, sexually perfect, pure people. Given a chance or given an opportunity, no idea how many people today would fall. And we don't want to be too self-confident. Understanding our deceptive and hardened nature, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive us of our sins. We don't have to sleep with someone physically to commit sin. You said that your thoughts itself are enough to condemn us of our sin. Who are those who are standing here who can say that my thoughts are 100% pure? Oh, we ask you to cleanse our sin of lust by the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. And we pray this morning that you help us to be wise in this sexually immoral world. We are battered, bombarded with sex from everywhere, from advertisements, from wall posters, from movies, from television, from friends, from workplaces, from the way people are developing the culture, from everywhere, we are bombarded. And we need your grace and help at this time, that we would not be deceived and hardened by the lust of sin. Heavenly Father, we pray that you keep us sexually pure in this immoral world. Help us not to become victims of this deception, isolation, association, frustration, fascination. Help us to avoid these pits in our lives, so that we would walk firmly according to your word. We pray that you sanctify us, forgive us, lead us, empower us, and use us for the glory and honor of your name. Without your preservation, O Lord Jesus, we have no hope in this sinful world. Oh, you preserve our souls safely till the end. Help us not to do anything that brings disgrace to your name, disgrace to our families, disgrace to our church. Help us to do everything knowing that we are not alone. Life is not our own. That our life belongs to you, to our families, to our church. And help us to live in the light as you are in the light and not walk in darkness. Let us not allow the world to deceive us. Give us your grace, O Heavenly Father. Save us from sexual immorality and cause us to flee from every form of immorality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.